All right, very good. Let me just confirm. Jed, are you with us?
I am.
Beautiful. Jessica, are you with us? Jessica, are you with us?
I am.
Okay, there she is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jessica, that was like the longest 12 seconds. I was perspiring. Where did she go?
Wants to make you sweat, Rena.
Wait. Very good. To all of you, formally and informally, we get rolling here with our MediaBiz Power Hour, our educational program to help advertising sales leaders around the world win. Whether it's your print publication, your e-newsletter, your website, you are selling ads in a print format or in a digital format, you are in the right place. Myself, plus Jed, Power Hour, MediaBiz, we've been rocking for years and years and years. There's more than 60 hours of programs like this up on the MediaBiz site. And we're here to give you the tools, the strategies, the resources, the ways to win. That is our approach. We're always going to encourage you, though, close your office door, turn off whatever you can electronically. You know, it's not an accident that we don't have something on your screen. We don't want you many-tasking or multitasking. We keep it bone simple. You dial in and you make notes because all of not only our research but all the very best in adult education and learning says that the more notes you're making, the more present you are listening to us, the more that you will take from today. In addition, do know that you can send questions beyond those that you sent us before we got started. You can send questions to us by just pinging a reply to the confirmation that brought you here or an email to Ernest@powerhour.com, and our team will filter those in and we'll weave them in. But we are in for a real treat. We're going to be talking about ad response rates. We're going to talk about consumers and buyers, how they're interacting with ads. We're going to be talking about print and digital channels, and you're just going to love what we're sharing. And as always, whenever Jed and his team, Jessica, he'll be introducing here in just a few minutes, whenever we sort of lean back and really pull out the kind of data that you're going to be hearing from the MediaBiz team, this is data, these are statistics, this is information you can get nowhere else. It doesn't exist anywhere else. Once again, you're in the right place, the right time to be listening to what we're doing, and it's going to give you a very significant competitive advantage. Jed, as always, it's a pleasure to be here together with you and your team at MediaBiz. So how about a hello to the group? Give us a little update about you, the team, what's cooking, and tell us a little bit about Jessica and her work related to MediaBiz. I'll say a few words about Power Hour, and then whoosh, we'll be up and running into our topic, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Once again, you violated one of your sales rules in that you've oversold us, right?
So now, yeah. I take it back.
No, thanks very much, Ernest. Thanks for all of you for joining us. Ernest does a great job with these teleseminars. In this particular teleseminar, Jessica Greiner and myself from MediaBiz are going to be, presenting more information. Than Ernest, but I encourage all of you to go back and listen to some of the really interesting topics that Ernest has covered in prior teleseminars. They're all available online. You can listen to them. He's covered just about every aspect of running an efficient and effective sales organization that you can imagine. So he does a great job with them, and I think they're always I always learn a lot listening to them. I imagine most other people would as well. But thanks again for joining us. My name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBiz, and we are a company that essentially is devoted to generating revenue for publications. We do it in a variety of different ways. We use online tools to generate revenue for print publications. Almost everything we do is print or print related, and we firmly believe that print can work. We have lots of success stories to sort of prove that, and we're really just in the business of driving revenue to print publications. It's something that we take really seriously. Something that we try to we try to get better at every day. It's something that we that continues to continues to grow and sort of evolve. If you'd like to learn more about MediaBids, we'd love to talk to you. Please feel free to give us a call anytime. If you're currently a MediaBids user, thank you for using us and using MediaBids. And please feel free to reach out to us and give us a call to find out more of how you can use the site and what else you can do. We're always very pleased to hear from publications. So thanks again to all of you for joining us, and thanks, Ernest. By the way, Jessica Greiner, who I work with, is also joining us today. Jessica has been here at MediaBids for about 7 years?
A decade. It's been 10.
A decade. Wow. Okay. So 10.
It's
been here for
like a minute.
She's been here for 10 years. She's extremely sharp and knows an enormous amount about sort of the intersection of print and online. Spends most of her time tracking numbers and sort of trying to realize trends that are occurring in print and the online components of print publications.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And what a pleasure, Jessica, to have you join us. I'm really looking forward to your insight and your presentation today. And Jed, thank you as always. It's a pleasure working here together. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I've been around the advertising sales space for 30 years. I launched my company 20 years ago, and we have worked with 2,000 leaders in 11 time zones around the world. We provide executive coaching and sales guidance for sales and ad teams that are focused on the print and the digital side. And, of course, we like to say the hotter the kitchen, the more we love it. If you've got big challenges, big opportunities, big competitors, acquisitions you want to make, search engine visibility, those are the things that we do, and you can come into our site and take a look at that. Across the LinkedIn space, the single greatest, most profound, most significant sales and marketing engine we've ever seen in 3 decades I've been around sales is unbelievable. We run 20 groups. We have 110,000 daily readers. If we were a newspaper across North America, we'd be one of the top 70 daily newspapers as a result of that. Please make certain you understand all that's happening around LinkedIn. It is a huge opportunity. And if you'd like any guidance on that, we're here for you. Lastly, every Tuesday, we run an ad sales academy. We meet every Tuesday for about 20 or 30 minutes. Every Monday, you get about a 10 or 12 minute recording to listen to related to a specific ad selling strategy, and every Tuesday we work on it together. Again, go into our powerhour.com site and you will find lots of information about that. Today, we're going to be talking about ad response rates, how consumers are interacting with ads, and how it's working across the print and digital channels. We have a wealth of information to share, so let's get started. And Jed and Jessica, let's talk about what are some of the ways to measure ad response rates in print, direct mail, and other traditional media formats. So we're going to start with the traditional side, and then let's talk a little bit about the typical response rates for industry verticals. So where to first?
Well, first, I just want to mention that one of the reasons why response rates are so important is that an increasing number of advertisers have really changed the way that they view advertising. This is in large part due to the internet and to services like Google AdWords. But what advertisers are increasingly looking for, and I'm sure that the publications on this phone call see this on both the national and the local level, is they're looking for some way of validating the expense that they're making and the investment that they're making in the advertising in your publication. This has traditionally been a challenge for publications. It wasn't born out of a system like the internet was, which sort of allowed for easy tracking. And so we sort of jump off in this phone call kind of under the premise that there are an increasing number of advertisers for whom tracking and understanding the response rates on their ads is really important. And so the what we've found here at MediaBids dealing with many, many advertisers is that almost all the advertisers we deal with care about these numbers in some respect. They may care about different numbers, different aspects, and we'll get into sort of, how you can kind of drill down on this stuff, but different aspects of these numbers are important to different types of advertisers, but in almost all cases, it's important for advertisers. We rarely get advertisers now who say to us, we just want a half page in a publication in Charlotte, to make up an example, right? They want to know... They want some anticipation of the results they're going to receive from the expenditure that they make in that publication in Charlotte. And so, with that being said, the first thing we're going to talk about is how MediaBids tries to answer that question and tries to track the results that advertisers receive from their print ads. The granddaddy and sort of the golden standard for us of tracking results are phone numbers. What we do in tens of thousands of ads is we put a unique phone number into every single ad that we put out. And what this allows us to do is to see some very basic information about what's happening with the ad. We're able to see how many people call, how long they spend on the phone call. We're able to see where they're calling from, what geographic area they're calling from. And just with these basic pieces of information, you can very easily make some really important conclusions. You can sort of conclude in many ways, what the response rate is. You can conclude what the return on investment is. So you can really sort of start down the right path of understanding how an ad is producing and how it's and the kind of results that it's generating. For us, when we see, one of the things that we look at very closely is how long a phone call lasts. That's usually a very good indicator of how interested the consumer is in the product that they're calling about. For example, we have some products such as Endless Pools, for example. Is a company that sells relatively expensive sort of pools that you put in your house. Their calls tend to be very, very long. We have other advertisers where the calls tend to be very short. So, for example, someone calling Pro Flowers can order a bouquet of flowers and be off the phone in probably under 3 minutes. So if you understand a little bit about the business that you're dealing with, you can make a pretty good conclusion about whether the caller was a valid lead or whether the caller was just someone who, who knows, maybe had the wrong number or was just sort of fishing around. In order to take that data to the next step and understand how many of those phone calls converted into sales, you need information back from the advertiser. But what we've found is that when you approach an advertiser and you say, hey Joe, I see you got 100 calls last week from 3 ads running in these 3 publications. That seems pretty good. How did those calls do? Right, and you're able to provide the data and able to say to them, we know that the average call length was 7 minutes, and we know that most of the people were calling within a 30-mile radius of where the ad ran. You're much more likely to get real good information back on conversion rates than conversion to sales, rates, than if you just sort of approach Joe with the idea that, how'd your ad do? Let me know how your ad did. We'd love to have you run some more ads, right? Because you're approaching them with information which is irrefutable, right? They can't come back to you in an effort to get a lower price or in an effort to negotiate with you in some way and say, you know, the ad stunk. It didn't work at all. We didn't get the kind of results we wanted. You know, because if you're able to show them, hey, look, we're generating these phone calls, they're lasting, 7 minutes, what the heck, if you're not making any sales, then the people on your end who are answering the phone, they're doing something wrong, right? We need to try to address that as opposed to worrying about whether or not the publication is working. So these phone numbers are extremely valuable to us. It occurs to me, and we've covered this on other calls, but I'll just spend 10 seconds on this. The way that 800 numbers work, and we typically use 800 numbers, is that they're transparent pass-throughs. So you, as a publisher, or anyone working at a publication, can get an 800 number for relatively inexpensively, and you can then route that number usually through just a web page portal. You can route that number directly to your customer's phone line. So they don't, the person who's calling doesn't realize that they've been redirected. And this is the way that all 800 numbers work. So there's nothing different about what we're doing or about what you could do that would change the dynamic of how the phone call sort of physically works. All you're doing is you're taking the phone caller, they're dialing one number, and it's ringing at a different number. But as a result of that transfer, you're able to capture all of this data that I've mentioned earlier.
And Jed, let's just pause here for a second, because as you know, we're not talking about anything leading edge or bleeding edge. I mean, phone tracking's been around for at least the last 15 to 20 plus years. As you know, I've actually worked with a group and a company that we grew from almost $2 million to $20 million in revenue that does provide nothing but the phone tracking services you're talking about. So this has been around a long time. And for those of you on the advertising sales side, look, having sold ads in the 80s and the 90s and for 20 years coached and guided ad sales teams, there's nothing more challenging than to go into a renewal and not know what your stats are, or to sit down with a law firm and have no idea what other law firms are doing by comparison. You're just selling ads and really on a wing and a prayer, hoping that the ad will work, or on the other side, hoping to get the renewal, okay? So you need these tools. We're talking about these trends in many, many of our educational programs, and this phone tracking piece is an absolute, absolute tool on your tool belt, okay? And when you hear Jed talking about the tens and tens of thousands of ads and hundreds of thousands and millions of calls they're tracking and things we're going to cover in here, you're hearing stats and data you couldn't get anywhere else and you would never hear anywhere else, so not only drink the Kool-Aid, but the Kool-Aid tastes great. Come on in.
Sorry, go ahead, Ernest. I apologize.
Oh, please. No, please.
No, I wanted to just mention, just on top of that, just for those of you who haven't tracked phone numbers, one of the things that is somewhat surprising, but absolutely true about the average print reader today, and that is that they're much more likely to respond to a phone number than anything else. And we'll get into some of the other ways that you can use to try to track results. And we use them too, but they don't work as well as phone numbers. There's something about the jump from a printed piece to a phone number that seems more natural to the average consumer than a jump from a printed piece to really almost anything else. Some other techniques that are commonly used and worth trying, depending on the type of client that you're working with, could be coupons. This is about as old fashioned as it gets, right? But there's an enormous number of people out there who still use coupons religiously. you know, this becomes a little bit more of a trust issue with the advertiser that you're working with, because there's really no way to determine the number of coupons that were redeemed other than to get that data from the advertiser. Sometimes, along the lines of coupons, but more done online, it almost becomes an online coupon, is the use of promo codes, where what you can do is, you know, for an advertiser who's web-based, who's trying to sell something specific on the web, there can be a specific promo code for your publication only. When the consumer puts in the promo code, you know, essentially, you know, your bell rings, right? I mean, the sale has been credited to you, which again becomes a useful technique for renegotiating and to getting them to continue to advertise. The problem with promo codes is that a lot of consumers just forget about them. Better than promo codes tends to be unique URLs, and these can be a little dicey too. But the way unique URLs work is similar to 800 numbers, where you're basically using a web address as a pass through. So, for example, you know, Amazon.com could be, you know, Amazon.com/, you know, save or something. Or it could be Amazon21.com. And then when someone types in that URL, they're taken to the main site. There's no difference in the site that they're taken to, but their use information is then tracked throughout their it could be lifetime, but certainly throughout their immediate session. So that just becomes another good way to try to track results and track what your readers are doing with your ads. There are other ways too. I mean, you know, the QR codes, you know, which seemed extremely exciting a few years ago, and now somehow seem a little less exciting.
It is interesting, right? That, you know, and just so all of you know, when we come to our educational programs, we lead out to the leading edge. We're tracking. We've run programs about QR codes, but the fact is that some things will rise and keep rising. Look at Twitter, right? You go, what can you do in 140 characters? Give me a break. I signed up in 2009. I've never been there. Suddenly you go, wait a minute. There's a wealth of things you can do there, right? So the same thing when Jed's talking about, you know, sort of trends that come and go. We as advertising leaders, whether it's print or digital or both, we have to stay current because ad agencies are talking about it. Advertisers are talking about it. Google's out there rocking real hard, you know, staying current with the trends. So we have to as well. In the world of ad sales has become more complex. There are no shortcuts. You know, in my earliest days, Jed, you bought a newspaper ad, you put something in the yellow pages, man, you better never miss the June deadline of every year because you're not out for another year. You did some flyers and a little word of mouth. That was it. Today you have an infinite number of solutions to it, and if I had $10 and I set up a competing domain with yours, I'm now a competitor as well. So let's all get real. It is a little more tough. We have to work a little harder, and we have to be a little more savvy, and our educational curve has to stay current to what we're doing. And that's the reason why all of you are here, and that's why we're sharing the insight with you. So when we see trends that are emerging, we'll talk about them, and when we see things that, Jed, like you're talking about, QR codes that are kind of sliding off or not as relevant, you know, we'll comment on those as well. So where to next related to this tracking piece, Jed?
So Jess, you want to talk a little bit about, I mean, the, you know, sort of the newest thing is the augmented reality. That's another way of tracking. Maybe you want to explain that just real quickly.
Sure. So everybody knows that mobile phones are being used in all sorts of different ways now. And as far as print is concerned, a lot of leading advertisers are integrating augmented reality into their print advertising campaigns. What this requires the user to do on their mobile phone is to download an app and then they can interact with the print ad in a variety of ways. So typically there's an image that the advertiser inserts in their ad, that it could be a QR code. Now there's several different ways to do it that provide more attractive images that consumers can scan. But consumers scan with their cell phones these images, and they're guided to custom content related to the advertiser. So some car companies in the past have done really interesting campaigns where I think Mercedes is one of them, where you can customize the inside of your vehicle on your phone. You hover over the ad, you scan the image, and you can pick out all sorts of different interior designs for your car. There's other ways you can interact with augmented reality. You can basically, IKEA used it in one of their catalogs. You could take a photo of a room you wanted to put their furniture in, and you can actually view the furniture in your own living room or dining room or wherever. So there's a ton of different ways that advertisers are kind of using this augmented reality idea. Additionally, you can put a Facebook image or a Twitter image in the ad, and consumers can just simply scan that image, and that will cause online a Facebook like, or you can follow someone instantly. So there's different ways that companies are bridging the gap between print and online, translating this offline activity into online response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all pretty new, you know, we don't really have any data on how many people do it because we haven't run one of these campaigns yet. But my suspicion is that, you know, there's definitely a hurdle in making sure people have the right app to allow all this to happen. But it's a cool idea, and it's coming down the line. And again, it just, you know, just to get back to the main point, it's just another way of sort of tracking what readers are actually doing.
And also, it's still early enough, I think, in its usage, where if you were to partner with an advertiser on something like this, with a creative agency that could help out producing something like this, it would still get a lot of press. You'd probably get a lot of social mentions. You'd get a lot of kind of write-ups about it, because it's still an interesting thing for advertisers to do. Not everyone's doing it. The ones that are really like it. I mean, some, you know, you can even download recipes, you know, have a recipe finder from your phone if you're, some of the advertisers, the CPG advertisers. There's all sorts of different ways. Games, there's all sorts of different ways people are using to interact with the print content.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So let's go down the path, if we could, and talk a little bit about response rates. And let's start down the direct mail side. Jessica, are you going to address that, or Jed?
Jess, you can. Yeah, I've done most of the talking. People are sort of tired of hearing from me. So.
Jessica, the floor is yours.
All right, great. So to talk a little bit about some additional offline response rates, on average, the response rate to direct mail pieces is about 4.4%, and that's according to the Direct Marketing Association. If it's a house list, which means it's if a company is mailing to a list that they've curated themselves, they've generated these customers over time, the average response rate is about 3.4%. If it's a prospect list, the advertiser purchased the list, they don't have the direct relationship, the response rate's about 1.28%. Those are kind of the most readily available stats as far as direct mail. Some internal data we wanted to share from some of our clients, not directly correlated to that, those specific percentages, but we measure things here kind of on a response per ad basis, and we have some interesting information from some of our past campaigns on average how many responses these advertisers generating, and again, these are phone responses. So for some advertisers in the satellite category, responses can range from an average of 29 to 43 phone calls per ad. On the back end, those are closing anywhere between 30 and 48%. And one of the things we'll talk about a little bit later is, as far as using these stats to sell, print, we hear time and time again, is just a super high converter in comparison to online. And we're happy to share this data with you to use.
Right, and those, and just so you know, I mean, even a 30% close rate is way higher than other mediums. I mean, we'll get into that a little bit, but that means that 30% of the people, of the people who call, end up becoming customers. So it's a big number for that adds up over time.
And what you're hearing from Jed and Jessica is that print is alive and vibrant. I cannot stress enough to all of you who are listening to this live and after we finish up today, how many times Jed has said to me, we're in business because of print. It runs circles around the digital side. And there's no doubt we have to play on the digital side. There's no doubt that the ad agencies want it. There's no doubt that our e-newsletters feed to our website and our website plays to our publication. Our publication points back. Make no mistake, we have to come in by land, sea, and air. But please know that even the largest agencies, even the largest ad buyers that come in and out on the media bid side and that are coming in making ad decisions, when they're looking down, they're willing to pay a premium for print placement. They're willing to, and because they can measure the premium kinds of results that are coming as a result. Okay? So, Jed, I just wanted to insert, that piece. Jessica, continue with some of the trends that you're commenting on, please.
Sure. So they just to go over a few other categories, we have some pharmaceutical advertisers who get about 10 responses per ad, and some other health-related advertisers that get an average of 3 to 6 responses per ad with up to a 70% conversion rate. These are internal stats. As far as external stats, things that are really interesting that might be helpful in your sales presentations, there's a recent BIA Kelsey study that came out that talks about how phone calls convert at a 10 times higher rate than clicks. And there's some interesting research available from them, kind of for advertisers that would, be good for phone call response, why, print is a great source for these inbound phone calls. And another thing I wanted to mention, too, and this is a study by Jupiter Research a few years back, is offline media is one of the top drivers for online search. So while it's harder to measure and put a definitive percentage on, okay, this print ad drove 5,000 searches today, it is something if advertisers wanted to could measure on the back end. But print functions as a huge awareness tool in addition to this amazing conversion tool for advertisers. But overall, the value and the difference with a banner ad, say, versus this print ad is you're encouraging consumers to learn more about the product. And if they're calling from that print ad, they're all the way down the sales funnel. I mean, they're ready to buy, and that's what we see continually over and over again. Some call lengths that we see for some of these categories, just to talk about the type of consumers calling, some diabetes products that we've run in the past have average call lengths of 5 minutes. I mean, you can get someone's life story in 5 minutes. These are valuable customers that print is driving to these advertisers that they can market to again and again. Even some pain relief products, average call length of nearly 8 minutes. That's, again, you can get a lot of information in 8 minutes, and you can sell a lot of different products. And print is driving these. So if the advertisers that you're working with have good remarketing programs, they understand the value, they understand customer lifetime value, print's a great tool to drive long-time customers that will provide them with a huge ROI.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's transition then, because the next piece is we want to talk a little bit about measuring a response on the digital side, right? We've been talking about the print. So let's talk about the online, the digital, the mobile piece, and what are some of the typical response rates for those digital ads? And Jessica, start us off, if you would, on this second point.
Sure. So just to go over it quickly, and I apologize if this is boring to you guys, but just to go over some online things.
Hang on. Nothing boring. I'm at the edge of my seat. My pen is in hand. I'm captured every step of the way. And for those who are listening, again, this is what we need to know to be in the marketplace, print and digital. So this is all incredibly valuable. So please continue.
All right, get excited for these terms: click-through rate and impressions. I'm sure no one has heard of those. But just to clarify, so an impression is every time an online ad is displayed on one of your web pages. An advertiser considers that an impression. A click-through is when a consumer clicks on the ad, and the click-through rate is just simply clicks divided by impressions. So that's typically the standard. I'm sure if you sell on the digital side, you talk to advertisers about click-through rates a lot. And if you're looking to see how your internal click-through rate stacks up against kind of the industry rate, the average overall click rate of all display advertising, and this is banner advertising, and this was put together by Google DoubleClick Network. So there's no one bigger to come up with this the stat. The average click-through rate is 0.12%, and that's across all verticals online. So that's kind of an interesting, it's not a huge number. So if you take that and compare it to how your publication's website performs for advertisers, there might be a really positive story to tell. So just take note of that internally. 0.12% is the industry overall average for display advertising.
So what that basically means, Jess, right, is that an ad has to be shown 10 times before someone clicks on it.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, for example, the stats you gave earlier for satellite television, if we're seeing, an average of, let's say, 30 phone calls per satellite, per ad that's run for, let's say, Dish Network, that ad is, it's a little bit tough to sort of do apples to apples here, but the number of phone calls that are generated from a print ad is greater than the clicks, and the phone calls are worth more. Because the phone calls, as you mentioned earlier, are just a more valuable way of responding.
Right, and so that that leads kind of into the next point. So basically, across all verticals, other verticals, specific verticals in television, if it's a satellite product online, say average click-through is 0.07%. And actually, I just wanted to, you said before 1 out of 10 clicks, it's actually less than that. It's 0.12%, not just 0.12.
Oh, right,
it's actually
right.
Less than a percent of click throughs. Pharmacy products, 0.1%. Insurance, 0.06%. And there's some really really startling reports online of. I think it was HubSpot put together some information about all these things that you're more like that consumers are more likely to do than click a banner ad. It's basically everything in the world people are more likely to do than click on a banner ad. So the industry is looking for a better way to measure online effectiveness. And one thing that they're coming up with is measuring view-throughs. And this kind of ties back to the print-driving online search point I talked about earlier. So basically what a view-through is if someone sees a banner ad and they don't click on it immediately, but they go, they see the product, they see profilers, and a few weeks later, it's Valentine's Day, they go back and they purchase the product. So advertisers and publishers online are trying to get a better grip on view-throughs because there's a lot of activity that happens after a banner is viewed that publishers aren't getting credit for. You know, Profilers might run a banner ad on your website, and if the buyer doesn't purchase at that point, you don't get credit. It's called attribution. So what these companies, Google and everyone, is trying to work towards is a fair model where instead of last click attribution, which means the last website a consumer's on where they click on the banner and they purchase from gets credit, to spread out the attribution over many more points. So it could be from print, it could be from the initial banner ad, because what people are finding is the conversions that happen on the consumer side, 80% of people who click on banners don't convert at that time, they convert later. So that's an argument you can use as far as if an advertiser says, well, the click-through rate's low on this this banner we tested with you guys, it's proven that clickers aren't necessarily buyers. The value's realized later down the line. You know, it could be a day later, it could be 2 weeks later. And there's actually, through at least DoubleClick, there's a product called Floodlight that you can integrate onto your website, and you can work with advertisers on their end to see if they use and to help you get credit for these sales past the initial click on the banner on your site. And there's cookies that track basically users' activities throughout. If they start on your publication's website, it tracks their activity throughout the rest of the sites that they visit on the web, and there's all sorts of different ways cookies work that can track people for just that moment. It can track people for a month. So there's different things that are happening online to try and get publishers correctly attributed when a sale is made. So that's kind of something new that is coming about.
Okay. So these are, again, the kinds of stats that agencies talk about. Medium to large companies, you know, want to know the stats and the data related to this. So certainly just a wealth of information here. Jessica, let's talk a little bit about, email campaigns. Can we go down that path? Is there anything more to summarize on this point before we talk about email campaigns?
Sure. No, let's do it. Email campaigns, if you guys are currently running them, you may offer your advertisers the ability to do a customized email to your list of subscribers. You may offer advertisers the ability to run an ad in some e-newsletters that you put out to your subscribers. There's a variety of different ways you can position advertising within your email products. But again, if you're looking for kind of benchmark stats that can help see where your publication falls with respect to other email campaigns that are happening out there, there's some great information from a company called MailChimp. They're a third-party email provider that works with a lot of different companies. And just to go through different verticals and how certain categories are doing. Insurance, again, we work with some insurance companies. Typical open rates for insurance emails are about 19%. The click-through rate on those is about 2%. So you can see right away the stats kind of across email overall are higher than regular digital campaigns. Other categories, pharmaceutical products, about 17%, 0.79% open rate, 2%. Click-through rate. Companies in the business and finance category, typically a 20% open rate, 3% click-through rate. And we can email these, we can email links to all of these sources out after. I know there's a lot of numbers being thrown around, so we're happy to go through that. But typically these email open rates are hover around the 20% mark across industries.
And Jessica, if I can just insert, you know, for those of you who are listening live and or well after we finish up, you know, today, again, always the words of encouragement to reach out to the team at MediaBids. They have just a wealth of information. They can help you win, and they can obviously help you drive revenue. So, you know, we're capsuling some of these key pieces, and we're sharing with you some of what the expected open rates are and click rates are, so that A, you can take a look at your own stats and data, right, number one. B, when you're talking to ad agencies or those expert buyers in our Power Hour Ad Sales Academy, we talk about expert buyers, the ones that ask the toughest questions. Well, these are the answers to those tough questions, right? So, therefore, when they say, oh, I don't know, you know, your competitor has a 40% open rate and a 98% click through, you're going, really? winner, winner, no chicken dinner for that one, right? So just recognize that that's what we're talking about. So Jessica and Jed and the team at MediaBids have a wealth of information related to that. Anything else to capsule, Jessica, related to, or Jed, related to e-newsletter marketing before we talk about some of the response rates?
Well, yeah, just along the lines of what you just mentioned, I mean, I think that, you know, increasingly, there may not be, you might be dealing with expert advertisers who are, who are aware of these kinds of stats, but increasingly, these types of advertising methods have become available to even local advertisers. I mean, you've got everyone under the sun, sort of led by Google, but there's many different examples of it, who are approaching, you know, medium and small size advertisers to try to get into, you know, a lot of these different digital ways of approaching advertising. And, you know, it all seems fun, and it all seems incredibly inexpensive, and it all seems like it's going to work better than print or anything else they've ever tried. But when you really understand the numbers and you really understand, you know, what the average response rates really are for a lot of these mediums, it's a conversation worth having, because print can hold its own. And and I think that, you know, I think that oftentimes, you know, people get so enamored with sort of the next cool thing that's coming down the line, that they're not sort of accurately thinking about the response. You know, that coupled with the fact that, you know, historically print has done a pretty bad job sort of playing this game and giving advertisers the same kind of data that many of these other mediums are doing.
Additionally, I'd mention, though, as far as selling both print and online ads for your publication, something to mention in your sales presentations are, oftentimes you're going to reach a new consumer through a print ad than if an advertiser also runs, say, a banner campaign in conjunction with a print ad. So from the advertisers that we've tracked response for, we often hear that print products provide an unduplicated reach to new consumers. So they're picking up new clients who will be customers potentially for life from print products that they wouldn't reach if they just utilized an online product. So it's your value, especially for your local media company, you know, is great in reaching, you know, a specific group of consumers, but also it's important as far as articulating the value of print to your advertisers that, you know, if you just do a digital program, you might be excluding new consumers who you wouldn't reach via email, mobile, or online.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. So Jessica and Jed, if we could, let's shift to talking a little bit about digital and online responses compared to print response. Where are the differences? Where are the similarities in the interaction when consumers are interacting, when buyers are interacting with those ads in different mediums? And then let's talk about what factors impact the ad's response rate. So, Jed, are you going to start off first, or is Jessica on this point?
I think Jessica is going to start.
Beautiful. Jessica, sure. Work to you first.
So we touched, I think in the course of conversation, we touched upon the general idea that print respondents are typically higher converting consumers. Our data has shown this. I mentioned a BIA Kelsey report earlier. has shown this time and time again. People who take the time to pick up the phone in response to a print ad are 10 times more likely to buy than if they clicked on an ad online. So in and of itself, these customers over time especially are can be much more valuable than leads generated online. So that's definitely a selling point for the print product. Obviously, online has a lot of benefits as far as ability to target and different different creative ways to interact with people. There's social, there's social advertising now. There's B2B advertising through LinkedIn. There's a lot of different options as far as how you can reach consumers. As I said, the response rates are generally pretty low overall, with the exception of email. So as far as that goes, print actually has some strong stats. The problem is there's a lot more data available for online campaigns than there are print. MediaBiz is one of the few companies who are actively tracking print response rates on any kind of large scale. So it's tough to find other supporting information. We're working with organizations to try and change that, because I think to sell the print products, we need to make these stats more transparent across the industry. So, just quick points: print is higher converting than online. More qualified consumers, longer-term customers. That's what we've found.
And so what that translates is into when I'm talking to an advertiser, very often the conversation is, print seems really expensive, right? I mean, so it's the initial upfront cost for print typically is higher than it is for most of these other mediums, because most of the other mediums are not selling. Not selling space, they're selling, some sort of response. They're selling a click, or they're selling an impression, or they're selling something that other than just sort of, space on a page. So as a result, print tends to look really expensive. But if you take the results generated from print and apply some of these numbers, print looks very, very attractive. Because, if a print ad generates 10 phone calls, right, and let's say, based on some of the industries we talked about earlier, that generates 4 really qualified customers, that's something that would take, 400 clicks to do online. It's a much more efficient way of reaching a consumer, and it's a much and the consumers are just more likely to buy. So when most advertisers, a lot of advertisers get sort of caught up in the fact that I'm only paying cents per impression or cents per click, but when you really look at what those clicks end up resulting in, and you just do a little basic math, it becomes pretty clear that print can compete and oftentimes outperform, these online offerings, on a ROI, return on investment perspective.
Right, and there's also some pretty astonishing statistics out there as far as how many banner ads are never actually seen. So advertisers might purchase 1 million impressions, but those aren't necessarily viewable impressions. A viewable impression only means half the ad loads for at least 1 second. So the standard's pretty low as far as what's viewable, and I think the statistic is somewhere around 84% of all banners are not viewable. So an advertiser might purchase 1 million impressions. Those may be located on the bottom of pages that no one ever sees, but they're still paying for it. So it might take advertisers a few buys like that to see they might be cheap, but they're getting what they pay for. So that's kind of another point to bring up. Also, we didn't touch upon mobile too much. I know that's that's a huge category. It's growing. But so far, the kind of early data about mobile networks anyway, there's still a lot of accidental clicks happening. So as far as qualified traffic that mobile networks are driving, it's difficult to get to drive those qualified consumers. People don't even realize they're necessarily clicking on an ad. We found this in some tests that we've run for some advertisers in the past. So it's a huge category that's growing. You know, it depends on how you sell. Obviously, everybody sells differently. You might have an app for your publication you sell ads in. You might have a mobile-optimized website you display banners on. But as far as how mobile compares to print stats, again, we've seen more qualified responses coming from print ads as far as mobile networks. Now, there is mobile search, which we didn't really touch upon in this particular seminar, but that's also a category that's growing, and I think there's a lot more data that's going to be coming forth soon about how those ads are working.
Beautiful. So, Jed, as we're sort of coming up on the top of the hour and we're sort of looking at some of the additional insight about, you know, how we can use this data to sell more ads faster, what else, what additional tips and resources or suggestions might we share?
I think that the key to, you know, the key to print survival and the key to print growth is tracking the response that's generated by publications. And I think that every publication out there should be taking steps to gather data. And once this data is gathered, then you can get into a lot of really interesting ways of looking at it. But you really can't start unless you have the data. And I think that, you know, when you have an advertiser that's telling you, you know, I'm spending, you know, I'm not spending as much with you because I'm spending it online, you know, you can have a conversation. And there's a real comeback to that. But unless you are able to say to them, look, you ran an ad and it generated 17 phone calls last month, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but look, the average phone length was 9 minutes, the average call length was 9 minutes, you know, I have reason to believe that, you know, that at least, you know, at least half those customers turned into, about half those callers turned into real customers. You know, now let's look at what your online is actually producing for you. I know it feels good. I know it's really cool that you are able to get, you know, a million impressions for, you know, $200, but, you know, it's not generating any customers, right? It's generating a different kind of response that is ultimately less valuable. So as a result of that, you know, I think that you know, print really can become almost like a premium product for a lot of advertisers. Something that they go to, maybe they pay a little more for, but it works. When you look at it and you break it down on a, you know, on an ROI perspective, so that's how we use it, and I think that that's how a lot of publications out there could be using it.
Perfect. And Jessica, sort of coming around the bend, and as we're wrapping up here at the top of the hour, any additional insight as to how we can deploy these trends or this data, these statistics, in a way that will help our advertising sales leaders win?
Sure. I think that there's a couple ways to use both our data. Again, we're happy to provide any of our data to use as far as the effectiveness of print goes. There's also a few organizations out there that have really great larger scale studies. The Newspaper Association of America, Magazine Publishers Association, they have partnered with a lot of large research firms such as Forrester and Scarborough to come up with kind of more general print statistics that if you have to both convince the advertiser that, okay, not only does your publication work, but print works really well, if you have to fight that battle kind of off the top, They have a lot of great research with information that you can share with advertisers, such as, you know, more than 8 out of 10 adults took action in response to a print ad in the past month. You know, there's statistics like that that you can say, look, people are still using not only my print product, but print products in general to engage with advertisers, to engage with products like yours. Print is the top media channel, you know, among millionaires. Depends, I guess, what you, who your publication readers are, if that's a relevant stat or not. But there's all sorts of facts like that. Additionally, someone we work with a lot is a, there's a website called Print in the Mix that has a lot of great information that you can use for articulating the value of your print product. So we encourage you to use a combination of our data. We really encourage you to gather your own and also to approach these organizations for larger scale studies to help you in your sales endeavors.
Beautiful. And Jed and Jessica, thank you so much for, again, the wealth of information that that you've shared and the insight here. And to each of you and all of you as you're listening to this audio opportunity, you know, this audio insight, the ability to listen to all that we're covering during this teleseminar, MediaBids and their team is here for you. They have a wealth of information. They will help you win. They will help you drive revenue. And that's the most important piece. On the other side, recognize points that we've covered, the trends that we're sharing, the data and the stats are really important to your print and digital sales success and working with those expert tiers of buyers. When you heard me reference that earlier, you can have an expert buyer on digital who can be a newbie on the print side or vice versa. You can have someone who's an expert tier on the print but really doesn't understand the digital side as well. It's our job to know who's in which category, who's a professional level, who's an expert level, and who's a newbie in which category, and be able to bring them along to take them to the next level. The flip side is when you are in a meeting and you're making presentations, especially to ad agencies or larger buyers in larger corporate settings, you have to be prepared with the kind of information we've covered here today so that you can discuss peer-to-peer and professional-to-professional with those kinds of expert buyers so that you're comfortable in that setting. And what we do know about the kind of data we're sharing here, it's ever-moving, it's fast and rapidly changing, and you have to stay current with that. There is no shortcut. There's no answers to the final exam because as soon as we wrap up today and come back in 90 days, the trend has moved again, right? So that's what we, you know, that's part of our commitment as advertising sales leaders. It's why Jed and Jessica, we meet every Tuesday with our, you know, our Power Hour Ad Sales Academy and our members and our leaders because it's ever-changing. And we wish we could say that we were sort of one of those ho-hum sectors that you could just kind of sit back and cruise and enjoy your mint julep. Well, that's not happening in the ad space world. It's not happening in the media bids world. You know, we all are adapting and evolving and growing, and we want to encourage all of you to do the same. Likewise, if there are topics that inspire you, topics that are a big challenge for you or big opportunities, let myself and Jed know. We always look for each month to be topics that are out on the leading edge that will give you those competitive advantages, and we're always here for you. Jed, how about some closing words as we wrap up here today?
Well, thanks for everyone who joined us. We always appreciate the enthusiasm and participation of publications. Thanks, Jessica, my colleague, for putting together a lot of this information. And thanks to Ernest, who didn't get as much of a chance to talk this month, but next month he'll be talking a lot.
Now, listen, Jessica, please know I and we thoroughly enjoyed you today. You are masterful. It's as though you've done these for 100 years. I mean, you are great, engaging, and thank you for all the research behind the scenes and for joining us here today. It was fabulous to meet, and thank you so much for being a part of today's program. It's really fantastic. I have almost 3 pages of notes behind the scenes. So thank you to the two of you. To all of you, go surf MediaBids. Go learn all that they do and have them work with you and your team. And if you're already working with them, you know the fabulous work. And for those of you that want to learn more about what we do in the ad sales world, just come into powerhour.com. and there's a space for ad sales and publishing companies and website digital ad professionals. Come in there, and you'll see all the things that we've got cooking. So to all of you, make it a fabulous day, and we'll see you back next month. Take care.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.